hello, and you're all very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast. And it is the start of the Allianz Football League this weekend. What a weekend in store for plenty of teams up and down the country. All 32 county teams are playing this weekend from Divisions 1 to 4. And it should be a very, very interesting weekend ahead. I'm delighted to be joined here, as always, really, by Seamus Brady from Mount Cliha to discuss this weekend's action. Should be a very, very interesting weekend of Gaelic games. And I'm definitely, definitely looking forward to it. And before we get going on the podcast, this podcast, firstly, is welcome to our new sponsors at Capture Athletics. If you want the best gear, go onto their website, click the link there, and you'll get the best gear around. And you could get unique gear, whatever gear you want, for your own GA club up and down the country. They are a brilliant company, so make sure you check them out if you haven't already. So, Seamus, how have you been over the last few days? Allianz League starting this weekend. The club season is well and truly over. There's still some college competitions to get sorted, but yeah, the Allianz League is back this Saturday.
Yeah, man, I'm absolutely buzzing for it. Thanks for having me on again, Matthew. Just, this is one of the coolest times to be a GA fan, isn't it? I mean, the whole road is out in front of us. It's very hard to predict, isn't it? I mean, I was, you know, mapping out my reels that are coming out tomorrow on my page on Cliha. And Division 1, actually, weirdly, is the hardest one to predict because it's the hardest to predict who's going to take it the most serious. I mean, Mayo won Division 1 last year and ended up getting knocked out in the first round of Connacht, or their first game in Connacht, sorry, by Roscommon. So it was very quickly forgotten about. And when you combine that with Waterford, say, in the hurling, I know it's a completely different sport, but Waterford winning the hurling league and then bombing out in the championship, it was this type of interesting situation to look at when you're thinking, will people take the league 100% serious this year? Especially when it is so close to the championship. But Division 2, where, you know, the Tailteann Cup places could be there if you're near the bottom end, like, that will be vicious for who's going to get out of Division 2 this year. You've got Jim McGuinness coming in as Donegal boss, Kieran McGeaney staying on as Armagh boss, Cork, Kildare, Meath, all making big strides. Division 3, again, really interesting. Like, you've got teams like Wicklow and Sligo getting promoted there that are desperate to keep making progress. And Division 4 as well, like, you've got the O'Byrne Cup champions, Longford, there. They'll be expecting to bounce straight back out. Leash with Justin McNulty there as boss. Leitrim have a hell of a lot to prove after last year's defeat to New York. So it's set up to be a really, really interesting league.
It definitely is, yeah. And we're definitely looking forward to the Allianz League. And what we usually start the podcast is the week in Gaelic games. There's been no controversy this week, but
weirdly,
there is a
weirdly.
Bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
But before we get into the intercounty action, we'll talk about the Sigurdsson Cup. Their quarterfinals going to be played. And there's a comment actually coming in here before I get on to it. Hello from Denise. Hope you're keeping well. The 2024 season is up and running finally. Yeah, and hopefully Longford do well, Denise. I know you're a staunch Longford supporter, so hopefully for your sake that Longford actually do well in the Allianz League. You might actually hit Division 4, but we'll get on to Longford in just a while. But look at the Sigurdsson Cup. We're going into the quarterfinals of this competition, and just to give it a bit of, you know, coverage in the last few weeks, the quarterfinals are made up and it's all next weekend. UCD are up against University of Galway. You have TU Dublin up against Ulster University. Queen's University against Maynooth University. And the big one containing me and Seamus, UL against DCU. And I think anybody would know, I am a UL student at the moment. Seamus is a former DCU, obviously graduated nearly. DCU students, congratulations, Seamus. But yeah, this is a big game. This is in Maguire's next Wednesday at 6:30. I'm back at college next week, actually, so I might actually pop down to it. So hopefully that should be a good game. But even look at the DCU team, Seamus. So look at Darren Scorpio. You have Sean Jones at full forward, Conor Corbett corner. You have Kevin Quinn from Wicklow in the corners as well. Shane O'Donnell from Donegal, Shane Walsh from Meath, Keelan McGann from Longford, Matthew Costello from Meath, Horace Hughes from Wexford, Sean Fitzgerald from Galway. So there's some very good players in the DCU team. And then when you look at UL, Kieran Downs from Clare's there, Paul Walsh from Kerry, I think he's in fourth year, the same year group as me. So I probably should know Paul more than anyone else, maybe in the year group. Frank Irwin from Mayo is wing forward. Paul Keeney from Leitrim is there as well at centre forward. Brian McNamara from Clare is a very good midfielder. Very good leap on him. Derek Ashman from my own county, Cork, is wing back, and I think he's the joint captain of the UL team. Daniel Walsh is there as well. So there's some very good players, and Conor Flaherty in goal from Galway. So some very good players are right. And the significance is about these two teams. UL have reached the last two finals of the Citizen Cup. DCU, in my opinion anyway, would have been considered favourites before the ball was even thrown in. They lost to Queens on the first day out, but then they won their next two games, including a 22-7 win over TUS Midlands over the week. So that was an impressive win. So, an interesting game to look forward to in the quarterfinal, Seamus. So, who do you think will have the bracket rights in terms of colleges? Will it be me or you?
It's really hard to know. It really is. Like the college competitions are always fascinating because it gives you it's a good litmus test to see how good they're going to be in county championship. It's one of those things that when you're looking at them, the player I'm most interested in looking at is Conor Flaherty in goal for UL. Because when you're talking about Galway being All-Ireland contenders, like one of the weak points has been Gleeson's ability to deal with high balls in on top of him. We saw it against Armagh, especially, like, and he does look shaky under a high ball ever since. And Conor Flaherty looks solid as a rock in the goal. And I think they kind of were going with him and then he got injured and then Gleeson's got in and hasn't lost his place since. So I'd be interested to see how Flaherty does. Then will he get any minutes in the Allianz League off the back of that? Would be interesting to see because Galway have chopped and changed. Gleeson, they've gone Bernard Power. And like, it would do them well to stick with a goalkeeper because every other top team in the country has their goalkeeper. And Galway need to nail that down as well. Either improve Gleeson's ability under the high ball or back someone else. Now, on top of that, it's a fascinating game because there's two teams that you would back to be serious contenders to go and win the whole thing if they get past each other. I would slightly lean towards DCU, and that's not a bias or anything like that. I just think when you list out the players, I think DCU have more players that are kind of already established in their inter-county teams. Like UL have players that are no doubt going to be established in 2-3 years. But I think when you look at DCUs, like Matthew Costello is already one of Meath's most important players. Keelan McGann is already one of Longford's most important players. Like Shane Walsh is already one of Meath's best forwards. And Shane O'Donnell already starts for Donegal regularly. So it surprised me just how many of them were in the team this year. And Connor Corbett is only going to get more and more game time for Cork as well. So I would slightly lean DCU, but UL, and this is the thing, the beautiful thing about the Sigerson Cup is it's where stars are made. Like someone could come out of nowhere and just shoot the lights out. It could be someone that we haven't even mentioned that could come on and shoot the lights out for their college and put themselves right on the map for a county call-up.
That's the thing, yeah. And even like UL were probably unexpected finalists last year because first year they reached the final actually. They had Sean Potter at wing back or centre back, I think it was, and David Clifford at corner forward. So they were all always going to do well, that UL team. Yeah. They were absolutely outstanding. Owen McLaughlin was there over the last few seasons as well. But they don't seem to have too much stars, maybe stars from other counties such as Clare, Leitrim. Like Paul Keady's a very good player from St. Mary's Kiltogher.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Obviously, Conor Flaherty in goal. Declan Browder has been charged that team for a few seasons now. But do you think it could affect DCU's confidence, considering they lost the game against Queens and UL didn't lose a game in their first two attempts?
I think the loss against Queens might have given them the kick up the backside that they needed, to be honest. Because like they've kind of woke up now and thought, okay, well, we can lose. And if they're a young team full of confidence and they think, God, look at, because I know myself, if I was one of those lads and I walked into a dressing room and saw all those lads around the dressing room, like if I walked in and saw Matthew Costello beside me, saw Shane Walsh beside me, Sean Fitzgerald beside me, I'd be very confident that we're going to win this. So to lose might have been pretty good because then they can realize that they can lose these games. And they haven't let it happen since. They were very impressive in their two games off the back of that. Now they're into a quarterfinal where they'll know how big this challenge is. Declan Brown, as you said, great coach. And you'd wonder, would he consider the Tipperary job? I know that's a complete sidetrack, but if
it's
there's
actually,
anyone
who's... Just to interrupt, Seamus, it's Declan Brown.
Different Declan Brown?
It's Declan Browder.
Browder, okay. My bad. Complete mix-up. My bad. When you said Declan Brown, I was thinking Tipperary Declan Brown. That's where my mind went to immediately. But no, he's like, so he's obviously done a good job with UL, managing the stars that they've had over previous seasons, like to get the likes of Clifford, McLaughlin, Powter on side working, dragging the team in one direction. This year, he's had to squeeze more out of the team than, like, because he hasn't had the same natural ability that teams previous have. Like, David Clifford has on his own more natural ability than most teams in the country have. So, like, to get to drag this team to this stage is impressive. I do think DC will probably take it narrowly, though.
The fact is, as well, DC actually have a manager that's involved in the Allianz League this weekend, Paddy Christie, the long-term manager. Christie, yeah. So he's managing DCU as well. So
he's been around for a long time with DCU. Mm. He won the Sigerson with them in 2020, I believe, just before the pandemic hit. That was a great DCU team. That was a ridiculous DCU team. It's like Evan Comerford, Paddy Small, David Garland, Jordan Morrissey. Like, really strong. Like, it was one of those where you look back on it and you're like, what the? You're like, Michal Banigan was in that team as well. Like, yeah. Incredibly strong.
Just before we get into the Allianz League action, have you ever come across Paddy Christie?
Have I ever actually talked to him? No, I haven't. But he has, like, he's very, very highly respected. And anybody that I've ever heard speaking about him speaks very highly of him. Which is why he's expected to do good things with Longford, which is why people were very surprised when Longford got relegated.
Interesting, yeah. It should be a very interesting Sigurdsson Cup, all right, and hopefully I'll go to that game next weekend, or next week, should I say, on Wednesday at 6:30. And yeah, hopefully some more Sigurdsson content coming on the Instagram page and maybe on the podcast in the future as well. And it'll be involved with the Limerick Voice podcast as well, so I will talk about UL's game on that. I'm not sure when we're going to record that next week, or if we're going to record it next week, but I will talk about more Sigurdsson Cup and Fitzgibbon Cup as it comes. UL's Fitzgibbon team are doing absolutely outstanding. They hammered TUS Midwest last night, but more on the Sigurdsson and Fitzgibbon Cup in the upcoming weeks. We'll concentrate on the Allianz Football League now and start off with Division 1 in the first live game of the year. And as Aaron mentioned earlier, there's LGFA games on beforehand. But this is the first men's game that will be shown in the Allianz League live on TV. It's Kerry against Derry on RT2 at 5:30 on Saturday. And this is quite an interesting one, because there could be a bit of shadow boxing in this. There could be a bit of trying out new positions. You would doubt Conor Glass, Conlon McGuckin, Ethan Doherty, Kieran McFaul would probably not play for Derry on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I don't think Mickey Hart is as intent in getting into the lineup on the first day of the league. But it should be very interesting to see what Derry team turns up. And likewise with Kerry, I watched them at the McGrath Cup last weekend. They employed Sean O'Shea at full forward, and they employed him as more of a target man. And to feed off him, you had Dylan Ganey, Killian Burke, Killian Spillane. So it'll be interesting to see if Kerry go down that dynamic as well on Saturday. But interesting game.
Yeah, no, very, very interesting game. Two teams that are, they're no doubt both All-Ireland contenders. There's no question about it. Derry have built themselves up, and they're not bringing Mickey Hart in. What's the story, Mikey? But they're not bringing in Mickey Hart just for the laugh. They're bringing in Mickey Hart to win an All-Ireland title. And with Kerry, I do think that both teams, I can see it being a similar thing to Galway Mayo in the opening round of the league last year, where they won't necessarily show their full hand. Like, there won't be Shane Walsh. There won't be, like, people like that were vital to the team. Like, there won't be Conor Glass. There won't be David Clifford. But there will still be an arm wrestle. And it will still be a chance to make a statement that, like, we've got your number. And when we meet you later on in the year, we'll still have your number. I think that will be the intent of both of these teams. Kerry will not want to lose this game. If anybody's saying that, you know, they'll take this game off. No, they won't. This will be a very, very competitive game. Because the players out on the pitch, the Dylan Ganeys, the Lachlan Murrays, players like this that aren't exactly nailed in the team, they have to use a game like this to stamp themselves all over the team and make the manager sit up and take notice and go, okay, I'll put this guy in the team for future games. So because of that, like, if you're a Dylan Ganey, for example, and you want to prove to Jack O'Connor that you can be a go-to forward come championship, there's no better time to step up and prove that than against Derry in the first round of the league. If Dylan Ganey kicks 4 or 5 points, Jack O'Connor will really consider putting him in the team for the business end of the championship. That's the golden opportunity that these guys have. So it will be a back and forth contest. It will be seriously contested. And I expect that Kerry will narrowly win. I think Derry will really put it up to them, but I think Kerry by 1 or 2 points. I actually wouldn't be surprised if Derry take it, because they might just be a bad matchup for Kerry. They might just have their number. But I do think Kerry will narrowly take it.
Do you expect there to be a bit of shadow boxing in this game, considering both sides, where they want to be, is being in the order of the semi-final and being in the order of the final, considering Kerry have opened, say, Jack O'Connor said this in a post-match interview, I think, one day, that David Clifford and Paddy Clifford will be rested in the first four rounds of the Allianz League or something like that. So will there be an element of Kerry and Derry keeping it all to themselves before they enter the championship come June, July?
I think they definitely won't play their full hand. They definitely won't play their full hand. Like, there won't be Conor Glass. There won't be David Clifford, Paddy Clifford. Like, those players won't be there. But I think that it will be exactly like Galway Mayo in the first round of the league last year. I think it will be like Galway Mayo knew there was a good chance they were going to play during Championship 23. And they did. Not where they thought they would, but they did. Roscommon got in the way of the Meath and Connacht, but they met anyway. And it didn't stop that game from being a right old battle. Like, it didn't stop that game from being an absolute dogfight. And it was a last-minute equaliser. Was it from Ryan O'Donoghue? A last-minute equaliser in a battle of a game. And it was a really good, intensely fought contest. And I think both teams are going to do that because, as I said, there's so many lads that will be playing in this game who aren't guaranteed a starting spot come championship. And an opportunity to play against Kerry or Derry is a perfect opportunity to prove that you should be in that starting team. So I expect this game to be seriously intense. There will be a bit of shadow boxing in terms of that you won't see Glass and you won't see Clifford and you won't see any of them. But they're still going to, the 15 lads that are on the pitch from either team are going to give it their all.
Definitely so. Yeah, no, I'd probably go for a Kerry win as well, maybe by a point or two, just because it's on Tralee. But one more question before we go on to other games. Sean O'Shea at full forward. I seen him in the McGrath Cup. He was actually very, very good up there, catching some long balls, did some damage to that Cork full back line in the first half, did absolutely outstanding in that, feeding the ball off to the likes of Killian Burke and Dylan Ganey. Could that be a future team for Kerry, having Sean O'Shea in the full forward line and then having Clifford at 13 or 15 and Sean O'Shea just feeding the ball off to Clifford? Could that be dangerous for Kerry in the future future games?
It could be, but they have to make sure that they, you know, it's a pity that they don't have two Sean O'Shea's because he's magnificent at centre forward as well. So it would definitely work if they had someone at centre forward to guarantee that supply of ball. If they had, like, say, Pete Colin Cooper from 2013 against Dublin in that semi-final pinging the ball into Sean O'Shea and David Clifford, they would run riot on any defence. Any defence. But do they have that? And, like, Dylan Ganey was played centre forward in the McGrath Cup. As I watched your podcast, Aaron, really, really good. And, like, Is that the level that passing into the forwards is crisp where Shawnee can run onto it? Because if they're up there and the ball into them is crap, well, then it's useless. Like, they're not going to – do you get what I mean? It all depends on the ball that they get played into them. And if they can put another – if Dylan Ganey is perfect for centre-forward, or if Killian Spillane grows in and takes centre-forward, or if Killian Burke is perfect for it, then, yeah, go for it. 100%, because the closer Shawnee is to goal, he's even more dangerous there. Like, and you mean you saw against Dublin in the 2021 semi-final, he stuck that ball, 2022 semi-final, stuck the ball in the back of the net right out of the gate, sent Kerry right into the lead against Dublin. And that was ended up being a crucial score. Like, it ended up being the difference between the two teams for the majority of the game. But my point is, it depends on the service that they get. If they get quality service, absolutely. If they don't, no. Move them back out to centre forward, because David can do the damage by himself, and with like a Dylan Ganey alongside him, and with potentially a Dara Roach or a Donald Sullivan, they can do even more damage.
That's the thing with here. Kerry, they have a lot of options. Even coming through the younger ranks, even Paul Gainey didn't play last Saturday. Stephen O'Brien
could be a decoy.
Definitely, yeah. And it'd be interesting with midfield as well. Will Joe O'Connor play in midfield on Saturday? Barry O'Dan O'Sullivan. Will Dermot O'Connor actually go into midfield or wing forward? A lot of narratives around the Kerry team, and it will be interesting to see that element more than actually the results of the game. So that's what makes this intriguing, definitely. Mm-hmm. But we'll move on to your own county now, Seamus. Dublin against Monaghan, and you're back at Division 1. Up the ropes. on Crow Park. Yeah, it should be it'll be a good game. And first question, Seamus. I know Aaron's going to the game. I spoke to him earlier. Are you?
Oh, yeah. I'm there. I'll be in the stadium. No question about it. I have to see how we get on. Obviously, we've batted our record against Monaghan now in the next 5 years. Sorry, in the last 5 years, we haven't beaten them in the league since, I think it's 2017. Like, that's not particularly great, is it? So Monaghan have had our number in the league the last couple of years, and we need to put that right this weekend. I think we will. I do think we will. I think, as I said on Aaron's pod, it's like that opening game against Monaghan, we have to get that right. Because every Dublin fan remembers how quickly the slide was in 2022. We lost to Armagh, and it wasn't just that we lost, it was the way we lost. We looked like we weren't on Armagh's level. It was like a team that had won six in a row all of a sudden didn't look like we were on Armagh's level. It was like, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden you looked at the Kerry game and you thought, well, we're not going to win that. Then after the Kerry game, Mayo came, and Mayo had won their first two, and we're like, well, we probably won't win that either, and Kildare might actually beat us in Newbridge, and we're going to get relegated. It all slid so quickly from that first defeat. And this is why this game, this opening game against Monaghan is crucial. Just get the first win into the bag. Just get the first couple of points into the bag. And then we can, okay, let's look at the next game. And let's focus on that. Because I actually do think that if Dublin win this game, and it's definitely a hot take, if Dublin win this game, I think Dublin actually could go on and top the league. Because when you look at other things, like, for example, Mayo, Roscommon and Galway all have a fiercely competitive Connacht Championship to look at. And they're all going to be thinking about that. Tyrone, Monaghan and Derry all have a fiercely competitive Ulster Championship to worry about. Kerry and Dublin, and Kerry have Cork to worry about as well. A Cork team that are rapidly improving. Dublin won't really be...
You could argue Dublin have Meath to worry about.
Do we, though? Like, as in, Meath... I'll believe that Meath are good enough to beat Dublin when I see it. Because I remember 2020, there was a lot of talk about, oh, Meath have scored 15 goals or something on the run-up to the Leinster final. And they got battered. 2021, Meath came rather close to Dublin. And everyone was saying, oh, well, 2022 Meath will have Dublin's number. No. 2023, again, they didn't even get there. They lost to Offaly in the Leinster Championship. So Meath made massive strides in the Tailteann Cup. No question about it. Keane McBride, massive strides as well, being made by Colm O'Rourke. And they started off the league last year in red hot form. Remember, they beat Cork and they beat Clare back to back. Very impressive performances. And I was saying, okay, I'm buying this. And then they were terrible for the rest of the league. And like, they nearly got relegated. And like, Colm will be very aware of that. They went into the Tailteann Cup after the Offaly game. Then they turned it around and won the Tailteann Cup. And I do think, for the record, I do think that there will be a day over the next 5 years where where Meath or Kildare beat Dublin in Leinster. I do think that day is coming. When you look at that, Dublin have been getting beaten by Kildare and Meath at under 20 level and minor level, you know, a good bit over the last 5-10 years. Eventually, enough of those lads are going to come through that Kildare and Meath will beat them at senior. It'll be a hell of a day when it does happen. But my point is that I think Dublin and Kerry don't have the same fiercely competitive provincial championship waiting for them that Ulster and Connacht do. So I think they might be able to get away with, and especially the first game. Do you know what I mean? Like Kerry's first game in the league, I think it's what in Munster, it's Waterford or Tipperary, isn't it?
It's Limerick or Cork.
Limerick or Cork, sorry. But like, yeah, no. So it'd be one of those things that I think personally, Dublin and Kerry will take the league seriously. Dublin will want to make a statement upon returning to Division One. They'll want to remind everybody how good they can be in Division One. And to be honest, they'll probably want to win it. Like,
yeah, I see
Desi hasn't won it.
Yeah. Yeah, I seen your prediction video with Sinead Farrell earlier. Check that out if you haven't already. But having said that, if you haven't checked out Seamus' YouTube channel, what are you at, seriously? but that video was very interesting. You get very differing opinions. Sinead actually said Dublin and Kerry reached the final. You said Dublin reached the final. I think it was Galway.
Galway, but I feel like I've switched it up. I'm agreeing with Sinead now. I think it will be Dublin and Kerry.
And my outlook on this would be that Dublin and Kerry won't care about the league. But the more this is, you know, the more I kind of understand that like Kerry don't have much of a tested monster. Like Cork, like me, like Kildare, they aren't up at that stage yet. Many people might argue that
they will be. They will be. It's just I don't think they're there yet.
Yeah, definitely. And, Kildare and Meath are definitely on the same pedestal, whereas look at the Ulster and Connacht, there's a lot of challenges there. But we're both predicted Dublin to win in Croke Park on Saturday. But for Monaghan, we both predicted them to stay up in Division One. Probably the first year we've ever predicted that, to be honest with you. And it'd be just our luck if they go down this year. But
yeah. I'll be annoyed if they go down now.
Yeah. Like you could have got down 2 years ago, but if it's the start of the league, we better calm down the spot. But no, but
that's it. 2022. Like, not only did they prove me wrong, they relegated Dublin as well.
Yeah.
That was one way to do it.
But look at Monaghan, like Conor McManus was at the GA social during the week. I actually didn't listen to that podcast. I might listen to it now tomorrow when I'm less busy now. But apparently he dropped a few hints that he's retiring this year. I don't know what the story was with that. Rory Began is gone to NFL. Obviously, NFL tries wish Rory Began all the best. And Mark Jackson won a match for Wicklow as well. So yeah, there's going to be a few losses. Man, Kieran Hughes is another big loss. But you feel like the likes of Sean Jones will step up. There's a few under-20s there that will step up as well. Aaron Mulligan really needs to step up in that team. So, like, is it a case where Monaghan, there's a younger generation coming up through the ranks that you would be worried for them as you would have been in maybe 10 years ago, let's say?
Yeah, no, there is talent coming through. Like, Kyle Gallagher has another massive loss, AFL. He's not a big one. Sean Jones, David Garland, like they have the talent coming through. And players like Gary Mohan and Michal Banigan, like they're only going to get better as well. So Monaghan will be okay. They might not have the team that they had in the late 2010s when they were seen as kind of dark horses for the All-Ireland, but they'll still have a good team. And I think even if they do go down this year, I think next year they'll be right up there in the teams that we expect to get promoted back up to Division One. They are a top team and they've proven it time and time again. At my expense, at your expense, they've proven it that they belong in Division One. And hopefully it's not third time unlucky for them. But I do think that they will lose this first game to Dublin. I think in Croke Park, Dublin will want to make a statement on day one. And if we lose, it really sets a bad precedent to the year. Because there is that question of, like, if you're a Dublin fan that hasn't really paid too much attention, it seems like, oh, we're All-Ireland champions.
Yeah.
We are, but we weren't going to be until the boys showed back up.
That's the thing, yeah.
Mannion McCaffrey, Con O'Callaghan, Cluxton, they all came back. O'Callaghan came back from his injuries. And then we went and won the All-Ireland. But what if they go again? Yeah, do you get what I mean? So it's interesting to see how we do.
We'll be definitely in very, very much looking forward to that game on Saturday night live on TG Carr. Another game live on TG Carr in Division 1 is on Sunday. Galway against Mayo, Connacht Derby, 1:45 on TG Carr. And this should be an interesting game considering both sides actually met each other in the league at the first day out last season. Mayo beat Galway in the league final last year, and then Mayo beat Galway in the All-Ireland preliminary quarter-final. So maybe Galway have something to show for this Mayo team. But when you looked at the FBD Cup final, Galway got obliterated by Roscommon, playing a third or fourth team, let's be honest with you. And when you look at Mayo, they lost to London. So both sides didn't have particularly good pre-season competitions, but maybe they're edging toward maybe this game or later on down there.
Yeah, I think that this game, again, will be very similar to their one last year. It's a cracker to kick off the league. But I do think Galway will take it and be confident enough that Galway will want to start the league with a bang. Pádraic Joyce will want his players to remind everybody how good they can be. Galway are a threat for the All-Ireland. They are. And people sleep on them now because of their loss to Mayo, because of things like that. That was absolutely incredible goal from James Carr last year. But Mayo, on top of that, like, Mayo have the potential. We all know what Mayo are capable of. They've had some hammer blows again. Brendan Harrison stepping away. Like, Oisin Mullins still not coming back. Like, massive blows in those departments. Kevin McLaughlin, Jason Doherty, like, even more and more experience pouring out of the team. But they'll always find more players to step in and fill those roles. And look, I do think that they will finish mid-table. I think they'll be fine. I do think Galway will finish above them. And I think a victory like this will be the reason why.
Do you think Galway badly need to win a league title? Like, I raised the argument on Aaron's podcast earlier that Galway probably need a national trophy to board. Like, when you looked at it over the last few seasons, I've seen a stat from All Irish Sport on Instagram that I think it was Mayo, Kerry and Dublin are the only three teams to win the league since 2013. So do teams like Galway need to step it up a notch to try and get a league title, or do you think the league title is a bit irrelevant in terms of contending for the championship?
I think they'll cash their chips about getting the All-Ireland. I think they'll go all in on that. I don't think Pádraic Joyce doesn't strike me as the type that if he steps away from Galway, that he'll go, oh, well, I won the league title. He will look at his stint with Galway and think, if I don't win the All-Ireland here, it's not a success. So this entire year with Galway, I believe, will be geared up towards winning an All-Ireland. I think Galway are going for an All-Ireland. And when you look at the players that they have, they need to go for it now. Walsh, Comer, Finnerty, Tierney, Johnny Heaney, Kieran Malloy, Liam Silk back in the team, Sean O'Karen back in the team, Sean Kelly then can move further out the field, John Daly at six, Peter Cook, Killian McDade, Paul Conroy. The cracking team. They need to capitalise on it now. Because the reality is that Kerry looked like they have the capabilities to form a dynasty. They look like they have the capabilities to now win 2, 3, 4 in a row if they get it right. So you need to kind of win one before they get up and running, if that makes sense. I get Dublin 6 in a row. I always say this. Dublin 6 in a row came off the back of one minor All-Ireland title. Kerry won 5 in a row. So where are all those players coming? And you mentioned Paul Walsh, like in the playing for UL and the Sigerson, like that's where they are. And they're coming. Do you know what I mean? They're coming. So people like Derry, teams like Derry, teams like Galway need to make sure that they don't get a solid base to become what Limerick are basically in the hurling.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Galway should have a very good year, more or less. But in regards to Mayo, like, a lot of people are saying that they shouldn't really challenge for the league. You looked at it last year, they got to a league final, and then the Roscommon game came a week later and they lost. So, do you think Mayo will probably ease off of the league a small bit? I predict them to finish third. I don't think they'll get into the league final. I don't think they'll be bothered personally. But what do you think yourself? Do you think Mayo? Do you think it's important that Mayo just focus their eggs into the basket for the All-Ireland Championship?
Yeah, but like, I hope they don't do it again where they show their cards too early. I mean, Mayo were fantastic last season at kind of the wrong times. Like, they were unbelievable in the league, knocked out of Connacht. unbelievable beating Kerry away from home and then didn't turn up against Dublin in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. Like, if they had got that performance against Kerry, against Dublin and Croke Park, how different the year could have been. Like, do you know what I mean? So, like, they will know that they need to turn up when it counts. So, again, I think McStay is going to be gearing the entire year towards getting the best out of them come the business end of the championship.
Yeah. And that's probably the way that Mayo will go about their business in Division 1. And the last game in Division 1 this Sunday, and it's Tyrone against Roscommon, 3:45 live on TG Car. And I said this in Aaron's podcast and even in the predictions video as well. I think this game is a relegation four-pointer. I don't know, would you agree with that, Seamus?
Yeah. I do agree. This is massive. Like, this is two teams that have been hit hard in the off-season. Kieran Murta stepping away for Roscommon, Ronan McNamee, Niall Sludden stepping away for Tyrone. It's massive. And, like, since Tyrone won the All-Ireland in 2021, like, it's not really been right, has it? Like, they've been really off the pace, and they've seemed off it. And again, like, the game against Kerry, don't get me wrong, that prediction aged like milk, that Tyrone were going to beat Kerry. But over the years, like, that game was the game that got Tyrone fired up. That game was the game that Tyrone woke up for and went, whoa, we got Kerry. Like, the great Tyrone teams of the 2000s. Tyrone in 2008 got knocked out by Down in the Ulster Championship. Tyrone in 06 got knocked out by Laois. They could have their off days, but the minute they played Kerry, they were lethal. And I was thinking, Tyrone have been rocking and they've been bobbing and just about surviving against teams like Westmead in the Championship. Then they put in a good performance against Donegal, and then they get Kerry. I'm like, this is the perfect opportunity for them to flip the whole Championship on its head, just as they've done in 2021, just as they've done in 2008, just like they've done in 05, and they just didn't turn up. So it's like, you do have to question the mentality of this Tyrone team, and I think 2024 is a fantastic answer to it. Their record in Omagh is not great, so Roscommon will be confident that they can go there and get a result, even though they will be without the Bridget's lads, and they will be without Kieran Murta. So I think it's massively important for Tyrone and Roscommon to get the win in this game. And if they do, they take one giant step towards potential safety.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned with the Roscommon lads, missing the Bridges lads. And just a word of Bridges, Jerome Stark actually stepped down as Bridges manager, so wishing him all the best in terms of his future career. But yeah, I think this will be a tough league campaign for Roscommon. I think it's honestly a must-win game for either of these two sides, because Monaghan are usually going to stay up. They're going to do everything to stay up. Then you have Mayo, Derry, Galway, Dublin, Kerry. I can't see any of them five go down, personally. Mm-hmm. So this is an absolutely huge game. But who do you think will win the game?
Tyrone.
Yeah, I think Tyrone as well. And yeah, they should get the 2 points on the board. If they don't get 2 points on the board, where are they going to get the win?
Well, if they lose this game, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, picked the words right out of my mouth there, Seamus. But we'll move on to Division 2 there. And yeah, we're starting off with a bang here. Donegal against Cork on Sunday at 1:45. This is live at the TG Car player and also deferred after the Tyrone Roscommon game on TG Car TV.
TG Car class, aren't they?
They're brilliant, yeah.
They're class.
Like, that's content, isn't it? Yeah. TG Car player, put it on there. Division 2. It's brilliant, I have to say. But yeah, I get the opportunity to watch this game without going to the game. And yeah, just for clarity, lads, I'm not going to this game. It's on at Ballybuffet, around the north. Oh yeah, I'm a very good
coach. You're not going up to catch the sunshine?
Oh, imagine the weather up here. It'd be absolutely bucketing down. But usually, from my point of view anyway, you'd be interested for Cork how they get on the league in the first game of the league. But I think the story of this game isn't about Cork, and I'd say safe to say this, it's about one man, Jim McGuinness. How will he set up this team? This is going to be fascinating, really, more than anything, to see how Donegal perform here.
Yeah, and like, this is what I mean, is that this is the return of the king. And I was talking to Leo McLoone. I had him on my pod, absolute gentleman. I had him on for an interview, and I was buzzing to ask him this question. Like, I was buzzing to ask him, what's different about 2010 compared to now? And he was saying the biggest thing that's different is the pressure. The biggest thing that's different now is when he came in 2010, nobody was really expecting Donegal to do much. Now he's come back in and everyone's like, oh, the King's back. Donegal are going to win the All-Ireland now. Will they? It's not that simple. We've got Derry, we've got Kerry, we've got Galway, we've got Mayo, we've got Dublin. There's a lot of teams that are have their eyes firmly on that All-Ireland. And like, this is what I mean, is that Donegal are starting with more pressure and they don't, well, like on paper anyway, with hindsight, we now know like Michael Murphy, Carl Lacey, these were once in a generation players. Who's going to prove to be the once in a generation players with this Donegal crop? So this first game in the league is going to be fascinating to see how he sets his team out, because it's like at home to Cork, and Cork are a good test for this opening game, and it's a very good test for Cork as well. Because Cork, like, have an abundance of ability and talent, and it's just the question of how do they fit that into a six forwards or two midfielders and six back? How do they fit that into 15 lads? And who do they back? Do they back like Colm Mahoney or Damien Gore or David Buckley or Mark Cronin? Like, how many lads have shown promise at under 20s in the last 10 years for Cork? It's insane. Like, you know, Connor Corbett, Blake Murphy, like, they've all shown glimpses of outstanding potential. And I do think that John Cleary's done a very good job with them. And obviously his first year in with the team, getting them to a quarter final, good work. But this year they need to push on from that. I think Cork will look like they're going to get promoted for a bit. And then I think that they'll just fall short and finish third. But I think that they will scare the living daylights out of Armagh and Donegal. And I think they're getting better quickly, which is brilliant for the championship.
It is definitely. And yeah, David Buckley, you mentioned there, scored 5 points last weekend against Kerry. And he was very good for his club, Lewistown, I have to say, in the Senior A championship. I think he scored like something ridiculous. I think he scored 8 points, 5 from play in the Senior A final against Donnies, which was absolutely outstanding. Fionn Hurley is another player who's on that Donnies team, actually, who rise up through the ranks. Mark Cronin, he scored the winning penalty last day against Kerry. I think he, more than any other year, I think he's shown a lot of promise this season. He's looked sharp. He's looked very, very good. And Stephen Sherlock and Brian Hurley, be interesting to see if they get action on the pitch. Kyle Maguire as well. And what's even more interesting, and I don't know your reaction to this, Seamus, the goalkeeper situation. And we would have thought at the end of last year, Micheál Martin would have been the main goalkeeper for Cork, full stop. A guy comes in pre-season, Patrick Doyle. He's basically Niall Morgan, Rory Began, Sean Patton, whatever coming out goalkeeper you want to mention, the modern day goalkeepers they call. He loves to come out with the ball. He loves to be the 15th man. He loves to attack. And he's very comfortable in his distribution as well. So will that be, is that the key for John Cleary as well? When you look at all these names that we named, the competition for places in the Cork team, even if they lose on Sunday, that's going to be massive for Cork coming down the line.
It is. It's the key to everything, is to have competition for places. Because, like, you look, for example, at Tyrone. Like, what's the first thing that went for Tyrone? Like, the backup. Paul Donaghy, Ronan O'Neill, they all, Tiernan McCann, they all stepped away from the team. And then there was no push on the lads from, you know, there was no pressure on them to perform to the best of their ability. And they knew that, like, say your Michael McKernan's and Darren McCurry's and all, they knew that. Well, like, I'm the best you got. So even if I don't play particularly well, but when someone was at their heels, they had to stay on it. And that helps massively, and it will help massively for Cork going forward. With Patrick Doyle or Micheál Martin, it depends what style of football John Cleary wants to play. If he wants to play, you know, that risky strategy with the goalkeeper coming out and being the 15th man, and Doyle looks like he could be the better candidate. But Micheál Martin is a hell of a shot stopper and a very good goalkeeper as well for Cork. But it'll be interesting to see who gets the nod.
Exactly. So we're both tipping Donegal, I'd imagine, for this game.
I will narrowly go to Donegal. I think at home, big crowd, I'd say, will turn out from Donegal to see the return of the King. And I will go for Donegal to take it. I think it's teed up for Jim to have a statement return victory.
Yeah, I think so. I think Donegal will win as well, but Cork have a decent enough league campaign in general. We look at the other three Division 2 games as well. Kildare against Cavan on a network, Cullen Park at 5 p.m. on Saturday. Interesting game this, considering Cavan have lost a lot of players, Garrow McKeown and Conor Mina. Obviously, Raymond Galligan's new manager, and he's not going to take up the player manager role, it appears. Kildare, a lot of the youngsters, I don't know, are they going to play in this game? Are they going to go with Callum Bolton and Tomas Van Engelbrechten? I'm not entirely sure. You look at other players like Kevin O'Callaghan, Darragh Kieran scored 2-4 for playing the Sigurdsson Cup during the week. So he's obviously ready for road this season. Jimmy Hyland there as well, who had a bit of an on and off season last season. So interesting game this, but would you tip Kildare for this?
I would tip Kildare for this. I do think Kildare have to start making good on the players that they have, because I remember Division 1, when Kildare were in Division 1 and they had that management team of Glenn Ryan, Anthony Rainbow, like, and they got relegated, but there was still a lot of goodwill towards it. And look, they put up a great fight in Division 1. Everyone was saying, yeah, like, this is the group to stick with. They didn't get out of Division 2 last year and didn't even look like close to getting out, like losing to Louth and defeats like that. And then, you know, the moaning and everything in Championship and all that goodwill has kind of dried up very quickly. And now it's time to deliver again if you want the fans to back you the way that they did the first year you came in. And getting a victory over Cavan is imperative on the first day. It's not in their home venue. It's in Cullen Park, as you said. Like, there were talks about them renting out Croke Park. I don't know, maybe Glenn Ryan wanted to get involved with the music selection. But everything like that.
No jokes on this. This is a new year, new season.
New season. Nothing changes. But that was the best quote ever from Aaron, if music affects you. But that's brilliant. I do think that Kildare will win this game. I think they'll make a good start to league. Cavan are going to be massively hampered by the loss of McKeown and Galligan, Conor Moyna, and the fact that Thomas Galligan isn't back in the team either. It's four pillars of their Ulster Championship winning side gone.
Yeah, and you'd have to fancy Kildare to go on and win this game. The next game, and it is the last game shown live of the weekend, Armagh against Louth. It's on the BBC iPlayer, but for those that can't view it on the BBC iPlayer, the Republic of Ireland particularly, the game is live on GAA Go. So a very interesting game here in the Athletic Grounds between Armagh and Louth at 6 p.m. Interesting in two facets, really. Armagh, Ciarán Mageaney, on for another season. Louth, it's be a mystery to see how Louth perform without the main man, Mickey Hart, as manager. But would you expect Armagh to run loose of this game, or do you think Louth could put up a test?
I think Louth would put up a test. Ger Brennan's first game in charge, I think he'd be keen to make a statement. I don't think that they'll let Armagh run them over. I think they'll play quite cautious. But I do think Armagh will win. Ciarán Mageaney, longest serving manager in the country now that Colm Collins has stepped away, still hasn't won anything. And I think he'd be desperate to win Division 2. Absolutely desperate to win Division 2. And I think they'll put all their eggs on that. I think if you want to see a team that's going to give it their all to win the division that they're in, I think Armagh are the one to look at there, because Mageaney hung on to his job by his fingernails over the winter. And silverware needs to come quick for Armagh.
Definitely does, even though they did win the Division 3 title in 2017. But I don't know if that counts.
Oh, no, but like, but, as in, it's one of those where, like, they should never have been down there.
Yeah. I suppose so, yeah. Yeah. So
It's like if Tyrone said, oh, we won the Tarleton Cup. You'd be thinking, well, how on earth did you end up down there? Like,
maybe it was Meath, yeah.
Well, no, Meath, no. Like, Meath, for example, like, Meath have been to one All-Ireland semi-final, I think it is, since they've won one Leinster title and reached one All-Ireland semi-final since, I think,
05 or 06, yeah.
Yeah, since 05 or 06. They reached the semi-final in 07.
And
09. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they won Leinster in 2010, but I don't think they've done anything since. They haven't won Leinster and they haven't reached an All-Ireland semi-final since the 2010s.
Yeah. That's the coincidence.
This is what I'm saying, is the Tarleton Cup was seen as a step in the right direction. Tyrone won the All Ireland in 2021. So that wouldn't be seen as
That's the thing, yeah.
But Meath and Fermanagh, I do expect Meath to win this game. And like, I do mean this. I'm really excited about Meath. Really, really excited about this Meath team. And like, some of the players that came in for them over the Tailteann Cup, like cracking players, Jack O'Connor, like Connor Nash, Jack Flynn, like really brilliant Gaelic footballers. And their win against Down in the final, look, they got the weirdest goal of all time. Like, let's not beat around the bush. Like, Pat Haveren didn't even know what was going on. That hit him and went in. And that goal teed them up to go on and win the game. And there's, like, I would question, would they have won if that goal didn't go in? But you can't deny, once that goal went in, they powered on. And at key stages, they got massive scores. Jack Flynn looked like every time he shot, the ball went over the bar. And Keane McBride coming back in, there'll be huge positivity around Meath. And I think that they'll start this off with a win against Fermanagh.
Yeah, they look very good, all right. Like, it's differing with myself and Aaron's predictions in particular. I predicted them to finish third. Aaron predicted them to go down. Do you think he'll be somewhere around the middle of that, or do you think he'll be either way for me this season?
I think they'll finish fourth. I think they'll use the league to try and bet in the likes of Keane McBride, and I think they'll finish fourth.
Yeah, I think that might be a fair one, third or fourth. I don't know what Aaron's thinking, putting them seventh. But anyway, we'll move on there. We'll move on to Division 3 and Division 4. What we usually do in the podcast is two Division 3 games. We'll talk about a small bit in depth and then say a word for the other two. And for Division 4, one game in depth and then 3, we'll say a word. The two in depth in Division 3 this week are, if this comes up, Offaly against Westmeath, it should be. Yeah, Offaly Westmeath, the Midlands Derby on Sunday at 2 p.m. in O'Connor Park. Interesting game. Offaly, obviously, Declan Kelly's their new manager now, the former 20 manager that led them to the All Ireland title. Cormac Egan's first year and senior, etc. Westmeath, they probably should get out of Division 3, shouldn't they? But could be a tricky game for Westmeath, and it is a Midlands Derby as well, so a lot of fireworks, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's a very tricky start for Westmeath, like, to go into a game against a team they're going to be fired up for them. Declan Kelly, as you said, the relationship he has with the likes of Cormac Egan, Jack Bryant, Rory Egan, like, if anybody's going to get the best out of them, it's probably Declan Kelly. So it'll be very interesting to see where Egan plays, where Jack Bryant, if how many minutes they get in the league, how he blends them in with more experienced pros like Keane Farrell. And like, it'll be very interesting to see Offaly this year. I do think that Westmeath will nick this one, though. I think Westmeath are a polished side, like Ronan O'Toole, John Heslin, like Sam McCartan, like basically all the Lomans boys are cracking footballers. And then like complementing that with, you know, the Downs contingent, like Luke Loughlin and players like that, like it's a very polished side. And they showed that they were able to compete in the All-Ireland series last year. Like they gave Tyrone a hell of a fright when they drew with them in the group stage. And yeah, I think that they will get out of Division 3. I think they'll get out with Down. They're my pick to go up. I think it's about time they got out. Like the fact that they won the Tailteann Cup and then failed to get out of Division 3 the next year did confuse me. But I do think they'll get out this time.
Yeah, I think Westmeath will win this game as well and win the Midlands Derby there. The second game we're going to talk a bit in depth about is Clare against Sligo, live in Fermanagh at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Should be an interesting game considering Clare have lost 11 players, and not just 11 ordinary players, 11 of their starters, likes of Keelis, Clare, etc. Sligo, a lot of young talent coming through. They did well in the All-Ireland Series last season, drew against Kildare, tested Roscommon to an extent as well last season. So could be a banana skin for Clare despite the fact they're at home.
Definitely could be. I mean, you're talking about a team that has been drained of so much of their best players versus a team that has been supplemented with some cracking prospects. Like Canis Mulligan and players like this that will come into the team over the next year. Like, I can't wait to see them and the mark that they can make. Whereas Clare, again, as you said, 11 players. It's not just any 11 players. It's Owen Cleary, it's Jamie Malone, it's Keelan Sexton, it's Keane O'Dea, Cathal O'Connor, Podge Collins. Like, that's literally like you're rattling off Clare's best players. And like Gavin Cooney is another one. Like it's mental how many of them are gone. And Darren O'Neill, like another one. But Pierce Lillis, crazy. But for Mark Fitzgerald, it must just be a nightmare. He must thought it was like April Fool's Day or something, but just in January instead. Like Clare have been, you know, really, really, really hit hard in the off season. I do think they still have some good players. that haven't said that they're going away anyway, like Emmett McMahon, Ike Mugueru. Like, these players are still good players, and I still think that they will be a solid team in Division 3. I wouldn't put them near relegation, but I do think that how hard those absentees will hit them will drag them just short of getting promoted. I think Clare will finish third. I think they will beat Sligo, but I think it will be a lot closer than it would be if they had their 11 lads there.
Definitely agree with you. I'll go for a clear win as well. And yeah, it'll be a very difficult season for Clare. I had them on fourth below Offaly, Westmeath and Down in my predictions. But yeah, it should be interesting to see how Clare react in this. Speaking of relegation four-pointers, and these are the games we'll just say a word. Limerick and Antrim, a relegation four-pointer this one, 12:30 on Sunday. Who do you think will win this one?
Limerick.
I'm going to go Antrim. Going to go for a shock there. And they say Antrim will beat Limerick in their own backyard. The other game we'll just say a word is Wicklow against Down, Sunday at 2 p.m. We're both saying Down, I'd imagine.
Yeah, Down.
Yeah, it should be a tough game. Ockram, usually a fortress, but I think Down will get over the line as well. The game we'll talk a bit in depth in Division 4 this week. Leash against Longford on Saturday at 6 p.m. in Port Leash in O'More Park. Should be an interesting one, considering I think I've had them in my top two in my predictions video. Promotion four-pointer, this one. And whoever wins this should go up.
Yeah, whoever wins this is off to the races. And, like, Leash last year, well, I remember Leash last year went away to Sligo one day, won and beat them by 6 points. And I remember thinking, God, Leash, happy days. Up to Division 3 is go. And then they absolutely messed it up towards the end. I remember they lost at home to Leitrim and completely screwed the whole thing up. This year, Justin McNulty's in, very good coach, was manager of them when they probably had better players, if we're being brutally honest, but he did still get the best out of them. Like, when he was manager last, they had John O'Loughlin, Colin Begley, Ross Munley, like some very, very good Gaelic footballers. And, you know, he did get them to an All-Ireland quarterfinal, where they put in a good display against Dublin. I remember that game. So I do think that, like, look, this could be a difficult game for both sides here now. And, like, Longford, back-to-back O'Byrne Cup champions, but they need to turn that into league success. Paddy Christie there is boss. I think this game is a flip of a coin. I genuinely find it hard to call who I think is going to take it. I have predicted Longford to top the table, so I will go lean towards them, but I do think either of them could take. I really mean, I don't know who's going to win, but I would say Longford if I was pushed on giving an answer.
I'll go for Leash. So another differing opinion from ourselves there. So yeah, I think Leash would win this Division 4, and Seamus thinks Longford. On to the other Division 4 games, I would say a word for this. Tipperary against Carlow on Saturday at 6 p.m. Two sides are a bit weird, to be honest, in terms of form, but who do you think will take this?
I'll go Tipperary. Connor Sweeney back fit. Sean O'Connor, I think that should do it for them.
I'm going to go Carlo for that one. I think Tipperary are really on the edges. I think they're on the rocks. Like, Connor Sweeney, he isn't fully fit, in my opinion. We'll see now once the league kicks off on Saturday. The next game, London against Wexford in Ruislip on Sunday at 1 p.m. Could be a tricky one for Wexford.
It could be. But I do think they will win. I think John Hegarty's running a smooth ship there as Wexford boss. They got a bit of a whipping off Dublin in the O'Byrne Cup, which wouldn't have helped. But I do think that they will take this one.
Yeah, I think Wexford will as well. And moving on to the last game, last but certainly not least, Waterford against Leitrim on Sunday at 2 p.m. I think we're all both expecting the same outcome here.
Yeah, go Leitrim to win this one.
Yeah. Leitrim to win it. And I'd be seriously worried about Waterford in this Division 4 campaign, unfortunately for the Daisha. So that rounds off the whole podcast there. Get the podcast a like, subscribe, all that good stuff, and give yourself a rating on Spotify and whatever. That improves the podcast massively. Thank you to Capture Athletics for sponsoring today's episode as well. And thanks, Seamus, for coming on the podcast today. And until next time, lads, until next week, we'll see you all then.